It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We've been hearing from legislative leaders about the spring session. Now let's get some perspective from someone who covers state government and politics. Dan Petrella is political writer at the Chicago Tribune. Dan, welcome back to the 21st Show. It's been too long.
Hi, Brian. Good to be back.
Because we taped this conversation ahead of time, like the rest of our program today, you cannot call in live, unfortunately, but you still can let us know what you thought. We'd love to hear from you. Talk at 21stshow.org is the best way to do that. Again, talk at 21stshow.org. All right, Dan, both parties say the session is about affordability. How much of that do you think is like real policy, and how much of that is election year messaging?
You know, I think that's the $55 billion question going into the spring session here. We saw 4 years ago in an election year when inflation was an important issue that was top of mind for a lot of voters. The Democrats who control Springfield put together a package of a number of tax breaks and tax holidays that were really decried by opponents as election year gimmicks. And many of those things were temporary, a postponement of the increase in the motor fuel tax, a temporary suspension of the grocery tax, which then later became state law. So I think we will be looking to see what kind of package we see from lawmakers as they try to put together the budget this year. I would assume we will see something, because I don't know that I've heard many Democrats speak in the last couple months without the word affordability coming out of their mouths. And obviously, it's an issue Republicans could try to use to their advantage as well, given the fact that, Illinois is a fairly high tax state, especially when it comes to things like property taxes and the like. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Democrats try to balance the state budget, which may require some new revenue, while at the same time making an argument to voters that they are the ones who are concerned about rising costs for everyday Illinois residents and are doing something to make life more affordable.
Well, you mentioned the state budget and the deficit there. Numbers are changing, and in part because the economy has been so volatile because of many factors, including tariffs and agricultural exports cratering and things like that, but also money being withheld from states, or at least attempted to be withheld from states. The state is facing potentially a $2.2 billion budget gap. What are some of the realistic options for addressing that?
Yeah, every year in the fall, we get this projection from the governor's Office of Management and Budget, and then they seem to have, they've gotten some new updated information by the time the governor gives his budget speech in February. So we'll be interested to see what that number looks like when they lay out their plan next month. But, really, there are only a handful of ways to address that, and that's either cutting spending in some programs or raising taxes or fees, or doing some combination of the two. There are also, gimmicky kind of things you could do, like sweeping funds that are sitting in designated state funds that maybe aren't being used for the purpose that they are designated for and don't really need to be there, to kind of plug holes here and there. But
like my favorite, really, the dry cleaner environmental trust fund or cleanup fund or something like that.
Yes. And there is, there's a fair amount of that in the budget for the current year. So, I'm not sure what the status of all those various funds is and what the availability of doing that is. But, Governor Pritzker has made sort of the core tenet of his two terms in office, a message of fiscal responsibility, that he's the person who came in to a state that was in financial shambles when he took over after the budget impasse, and can point to many credit upgrades and things of that nature to show that he's put the state on a more firm foundation. But there is the issue that the state year after year just doesn't seem to bring in enough revenue to support all the various programs that lawmakers and voters who elect those lawmakers feel are important. So there's this need every year to figure out a way to bring balance to the budget, and is usually what is taking up all our time and energy in the last few days of May. So, it'll begin in a month or so when the governor lays out his plan.
And there's no shortage of, you know, sort of structural ideas. A lot of good government groups have proposed expanding taxes to services, things like, you know, lawn mowing and haircuts and accounting and stuff like that. We've also seen the governor attempt to impose a graduate or, you know, have the Constitution amended to allow for a graduated income tax. We've seen referenda multiple times in the past couple of decades on a millionaire's tax. What, I mean, is any of that stuff a possibility this session? We are in an election year.
You know, that's going to be one of the really interesting things to see. The governor has repeatedly and as recently as today when we're speaking Friday endorsed the idea that he thinks Illinois needs a system where people who make more money are taxed at a higher rate. That's the way most other states have their income tax structured. It's the way the federal government's income tax is structured. But he also spent upwards of $50 million of his own money back in 2020 trying to make that case to voters and was not successful. So, you know, I think there's a question politically whether he wants to put his full force behind that idea again, particularly in an election year when, unlike 2020, his name is also on the ballot. You know, recently we have heard Speaker Welch allude to the fact that this millionaire's tax idea that was endorsed by voters just in November, most recently, by a pretty wide margin, you know, is maybe more palatable, more doable. Whether that translates into, you know, an actual constitutional amendment referendum passing through the legislature this spring remains to be seen. There's also, you know, a group of progressive lawmakers in both chambers who want to revisit the idea of a more overarching graduated rate structure, and whether that movement gains momentum this spring, I think, is going to be another important issue to watch.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking with Dan Petrella, who is political writer at the Chicago Tribune. He covers state government and politics, as well as federal government and politics, but we're talking about the state today. We taped this conversation, as Dan just said, on Friday in order to make schedules meet. But as we are going to air on Tuesday, the Illinois General Assembly is getting back into the swing of things with the House joining the Senate. Senate already returned into session last week. House is back this week. So one of the other issues that may come up this spring is the Safety Act and the Pretrial Fairness Act, which was part of that. Speaker Welch, Governor Pritzker have both signaled openness to changes there. How significant is that?
You know, I think it's sort of a repetition of what we heard from them 4 years ago in an election year where there was a lot of scrutiny on the Safety Act. I think, you know, one of the interesting things about it is obviously there are some high profile crimes that have been committed by folks who have been released rather than held pretrial. But, you know, overall crime in Chicago, at least, is down pretty dramatically in recent years. And so, you know, I think folks who support the idea of abolishing cash bail can point to that and say, look, this has been successful. It's working the way we intended. And, you know, I think there will be some resistance among some pockets of the Democratic caucus, I think, to doing too much. But I think, you know, there's always an interest in portraying at the same time that you're taking the issue of crime seriously, particularly in an election year when we anticipate Republicans will be on the attack on that issue, as we saw, you know, 4 years ago in the last gubernatorial election year.
Yeah, well, on the tack rhetorically from Illinois Republicans, but federally, Republicans are literally sort of bringing attacks to Illinois. And we're seeing that with we saw that last year with ICE operations, immigration enforcement. There are also you know, there's a lawsuit against Illinois over election or voter data, I should say. How is all this stuff that's happening in the background for, you know, the legislative process, but very much in the foreground for everyday people in Illinois and lawmakers in particular, how is that shaping what's happening in Springfield?
Yeah, given that it's an election year, I think we're going to see a lot of messaging and positioning on issues related to you know, responding to the things that are coming down from the federal government. I think, you know, there is the concern that we will see a resurgence of, you know, federal immigration enforcement agents here in the Chicago area and maybe in other parts of the state in the spring. So, you know, if that does happen, I'm sure there will be a response. As you alluded to, there are many lawsuits going on between the state and the Trump administration. So, the outcome of some of those, or the status of some of those, could lead to legislators looking for ways to change state law to do more safeguards or Trump proofing or whatever they might want to call it. There already is a lawsuit against the state from a measure that passed in the fall veto session about access for immigration agents to places like courthouses and daycare centers and things like that. So yeah, I think it's going to be very much front and center throughout the legislative session, and obviously a big part of the political brand that Governor Pritzker has been building is being on what he likes to call team fight, sort of the vanguard of the opposition movement here to the second Trump administration. So I think we'll continue to see a lot of that rhetoric and action coming out of the governor's office, the attorney general's office, and the legislature as well.
Yeah, we spoke with the attorney general last week on the program. He said 51 lawsuits his team has filed so far against the Trump administration. You mentioned Governor Pritzker. He's seeking a third term. He may also be running for president in 2028. How does his national profile shape what Democrats are willing to do this session?
You know, I think that that's going to be very interesting to watch. And I think, that's one of the interesting issues when it comes to issues like revenue and a graduated income tax. And maybe one of the reasons we've seen Governor Pritzker and his team be a little cautious about making another attempt at that. Obviously, it's an issue that plays well with a large portion of the Democratic base, but also is the potential for another, dramatic political loss for him. The defeat of the referendum in 2020 was arguably his biggest political defeat as governor. So I think there's a caution that has characterized a lot of the moves that his administration has made, particularly during the second term. So I think there are substantive issues that the state has that it's had for a long time. We talked about some of the revenue generating proposals like tax and services and things like that that have been discussed, I think, as long as you and I have both been following state politics, and I'm sure much longer than that. Property taxes on the local level is another big issue that comes up perennially, and it'll be interesting to see, in an election year, whether the governor tries to make any movement there. I think there are limits to what he will embrace and sort of a caution in what he's really willing to get engaged with directly or to put his sort of stamp of approval on ahead of time, rather than letting lawmakers work it out and then send him a bill. I think we saw that with the transit reform measures that passed in the fall, for example, where they really left it up to lawmakers to sort of hash out what they wanted to do rather than laying out his own specific plan. So I would expect more of that, but I'm also going to be very curious to see sort of what he lays out when he gives his budget address and State of the State speech next month.
Well, we have just about a minute and a half remaining here. We are coming to you from the past. Again, we taped this on Friday. You all know more than we do about the outcome of the Bears game this weekend. But equally uncertain to all of us is the outcome of the Bears push for a stadium in Arlington Heights or Northwest Indiana. Dan, what is the latest with that?
Well, I will guarantee that by Tuesday, we will not know the outcome of that question. The latest is that Indiana is now making at least what appears to be a concerted push to try to woo the Bears to come there. For longtime Illinois residents and Bears fans, this is sort of deja vu of stuff that happened in the 90s. But I think the big question is if lawmakers can come to some kind of agreement on this so-called mega projects legislation that the Bears say they need to do their program and their project in Arlington Heights, let them negotiate their tax bills with the local taxing bodies there. The big question is, how do you get Chicago lawmakers to support that when city taxpayers are on the hook for $500 million of debt from the stadium renovation from the early 2000s? And the question is, how do you come to some kind of agreement on that? If the Bears want to stay in the state and go to Arlington Heights, allows Chicago lawmakers to show their taxpayers that they were good stewards of their taxpayer dollars and didn't let the anchor tenant of a publicly owned stadium leave and help them, pack their boxes as they were leaving, essentially.
Dan Petrella, political writer at the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Brian.
That's it for us today. You can let us know what you thought about our program. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. You can also find that address and every other way to contact us on our website, 21stshow.org. We've got our past conversations there, and you can find links to subscribe to our podcasts, or just look us up on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Harrison Malkin, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Kulsum Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.